We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here in just a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay. Many years ago, there was a TV program. Some of you, well, a few of you might be old enough to remember it. But they have run, they've had reruns every now and then. And you can find it on the internet. But the TV show was called This Is Your Life. Remember that? Yeah. And on this show, they would bring people in, folks you never heard of. They would say, you know, so-and-so. They'd say something about that person. And then you'd hear this voice. It's like, well, who is this? And the person on stage, sometimes they would recognize the voice and sometimes they didn't. And the person off stage would be saying something really nice. Now, here's what you did for me when I was 10 years old or whatever, you know. And then the person on stage would start to recognize, oh my goodness, that's so-and-so. And then that person would come out and there'd be all kinds of hugs. And then there'd be another voice and so on. And it was really a neat show. Very, very touching. And it was very encouraging for the person who was the focal point of the show that night. And I think maybe at the end of it, they would give them a gift or whatever. I don't remember all the details. But it was called This Is Your Life. Well, we're going to have kind of a variation on the theme of that tonight. The title is This Is Our God. One of the things that really frustrates me, and I don't let it get to me too much, but Christians or people who profess to have a belief in God, but they want to blame God for all the bad. And questions like, why would God do this? Or I don't know why God would just, you know, sit around and just let this happen. And on it goes. And what's interesting is that you can have Christians who, they're very gung-ho about God. Praise God, oh, I love God, so on. But then when the bad happens, you find out where they're really coming from. I trusted God. I don't know why he did that. I don't know how come and how come. And, you know, years ago, I was in that category, I have no doubt. But now, especially Christians who've been around, heard teaching, the likes of which we get here in this church and other similar churches, when they start talking that way, I don't know where they're coming from. Because you know better. You just know better. You know, you wouldn't walk up to like an electrical outlet and stick a knife in it. Why not? You know better, right? You just know better. You wouldn't climb on top of your house and jump on your concrete driveway. Why not? Because you know better. Well, then when it comes to God, why would you complain? I mean, really? Why complain and why blame God? Well, tonight, we're going to go through some verses of Scripture to talk about our God, to give a revelation of who He is. And we're not going to be spending a whole lot of time on any of them because we have quite a few. In fact, we're just scratching the surface with these verses. Well, let's talk about our God. And let's get in the Word and just find out what kind of revelation we can have about our God. Because, see, you don't know what might happen in your life tomorrow. I can remember years ago, there was a husband and wife, and they professed Jesus as Savior. And they seemed to be stable in their walk with God, but they had a son. The son was born with a heart defect. And he was having a lot of problems. Many doctor appointments, lots of tests. I mean, on and on it went. And I don't recall if there were a lot of surgeries or what. But it wasn't good. And the doctors said that, It just doesn't look good. And eventually, the day came, that little boy died. He was about maybe 5 years old. And the parents were devastated, absolutely devastated. To the point to where I was concerned about where they were in their walk with God. I mean, honestly, at that point, after that happened, you could tell they really weren't trusting God anymore. And they had a lot of doubts, a lot of questions. And I remember I saw the dad out in public someplace. And it had been a while, I'd say at least a year after that boy had died, at least a year. I said, "Hey, you know, how you doing?" And his face was just, I don't know how to say this, but there was no joy on his face at all, none. His face had a mask of pain. And he just looked at me and said, "I don't want to talk. I just don't want to talk." He was almost rude, but it was the pain speaking. It wasn't, you know, him. It wasn't the way he used to be. And he said, "I just don't want to talk. I don't want to talk." All I said was, "Hi." You know, I wasn't going to stand there and start preaching to him. All I said was, "Hi." He didn't want to talk. Well, what he said without saying it was, "Where's God? You know, I thought you could trust him." Well, you know what? You can. But let's look at this. Let's start right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 9, I'm sorry. "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." What do we see in here? God is faithful. God is faithful, all right? Now, before we go any further, you're either going to believe the Bible or you're not. I just did. And if you're not going to believe the Bible, like this verse and others we're going to be seeing, if you're not going to believe this, then how in the world do you know you're born again? Because if you can't or you refuse to believe just this verse right here, then how do you know for sure Jesus died for your sins? How do you know he shed his blood? How do you know he was crucified, raised from the dead? How do you know that? You can't just pick and choose. And here it tells us right here, God is faithful. God is faithful. When people stand at an altar to get married and they make these promises, one of the promises they're making is to be faithful. Well, you and I both know that doesn't always stay true in the marriage. But with God, he's faithful. He absolutely, positively is faithful. Now look over in Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. Take a look at verse 30. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." What do we see here? God is perfect. God is perfect. There's nothing in Scripture that says we live in a perfect world, but God is perfect. See this? God is perfect. Now, if God is perfect, that means everything he does is perfect. That means everything he thinks is perfect. Everything he speaks is perfect. God is perfect. Perfect. He's perfect. You know what? We aren't. Now, we may be perfectly born again, but we're not perfect. And we know that. You know, the Bible says God cannot lie. Well, guess what? All of us can lie. Every single one of us. We have that potential. So there is a type of imperfection in us, but there is no imperfection in God whatsoever. God is perfect. The problem is, we cannot in our minds conceive of absolute perfection. So that means that God, being perfect, exists at a level we cannot comprehend. But you know what? That's good. Because if we in our human minds could comprehend that level of perfection, then it would mean God is not the fullness of who he says he is. He is perfect. So you know what? By faith, I accept that. God is perfect. I don't understand that kind of perfection. But God is perfect. If He's perfect, then why would I not want to trust Him? God is perfect. Now look over in Malachi chapter 3. A preacher once said, as soon as you have people turn to Malachi chapter 3, they reach for their wallets. Malachi chapter 3. Now look at this. Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. For I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. How many of you ever saw the movie Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? You know, this Dr. Jekyll, he did these experiments and had this serum and whatever, and he drinks it, and at night he turns into Mr. Hyde, this evil, wicked person. But during the day, he's Dr. Jekyll. Well, guess what? God is not a Jekyll and Hyde. God never changes. So the way He was God in the Old Testament is the way He's God today. The way He was God from Matthew to Revelation, I mean, He's the same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, God never changes. So that means my circumstances can change, but God doesn't change. My problems can change, but God never changes. Never, ever changes. You know, there's a song that we sing, and I forget all the words, but part of it talks about how He's constant in everything. He never, ever changes. So obviously, we can trust Him no matter what it is we're facing. Look over in Psalm chapter 90. Psalm 90, and look at verse number 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What do we see in this? That God is eternal. There has never been a time when God did not exist. Now try to wrap your mind around that one. He existed before creation, and you say, well, how long was that? I don't know. You know, okay, if you were to go before God right now, say, God, I heard Pastor Jim say that you existed before creation. I got an issue with this. What I want to know is, how long did you exist before creation? He'd say, forever. Yeah, come on, God. No, seriously, how long? How long? Forever. Our mind, you talk about not being able to wrap your mind around something. You know, He existed. He has no beginning. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people out there don't want to believe in God. How can He not have a beginning? Because He's God. Yes, but how can He not have a beginning? Because He's God. He's God. So I accept that by faith. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's always existed. I sure don't understand that one. But this is what God reveals about Himself in His Word. So you know what? I accept it and I go on. I may never understand that. Even when we are in eternity with Him, I may never fully understand how He has existed forever. But that's okay. As long as I'm there with Him, I'm good with it. I don't have to have the formula to explain that. He is eternal. Look in Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, and look in verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? God is all powerful. I mean, we could go back and just read through the book of Genesis. You know, just Genesis chapter 1. God said, and there was. God said, and there was. And He says, is there anything too hard for me? If I can bring your creation into existence, is there anything in that creation that is too hard for me? No. God is all powerful. The problem we have is wanting Him to demonstrate His power the way we want Him to demonstrate His power. Well, it doesn't work that way. But God is all powerful. He's able to do more than we can possibly imagine with His power. You know, we want to talk about, well, when I've done a little bit of reading about like atomic bombs, nuclear bombs, and so forth, and if one exploded, you know, the devastation, you know, how far out would it expand, and how that, you know, at ground zero, you know, things would be vaporized and so forth. That's incredible. Have you ever seen those power lines? Now, I don't mean the ones that are out here on the street, but I'm talking where they have those towers that are like 100 feet tall, and those power lines run. They are carrying so much electricity that the people that work on those, they have to go through a certain process to be adequately grounded before they can begin, you know, rising up to get close to those power lines. Because if they're not properly grounded and they get too close, not even touching them, just too close to them too quickly, the power in those lines would just totally evaporate those people. They would be disintegrated. I'm having a hard time understanding how that's possible. But I was watching this special on television one time, and they said, here's what we have to do before we can go up there and start working on those lines. Because if we don't and we get too close, boom, that's it. We're gone. And there's literally nothing left. We're atomized. I don't understand that. I don't understand how that's possible. God's more powerful than that. Far more powerful. He spoke and brought the molecules into existence. He spoke and the molecules gained cohesion into something we can recognize. And all He did was speak. You know, wouldn't that be great if we could, like, dump a bucket of Legos and just speak and make things happen? Well, it doesn't work that way. We have to physically touch the Legos and form them into something. But with God, all He does is speak and things happen. That is incredible. He is all powerful. Look over in Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, beginning in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He is the only true God. I mean, a lot of people worship stuff and call it a God. Did you hear what happened? Where was it? Kansas? There was the head of a Satanist church and went into, I think it was Kansas, the Kansas State House, and tried to have a satanic mass right there. Yeah. And, well, the guy got chased out, got arrested. And as he was arrested and they're taking him out, he starts yelling, Hail Satan! Hail Satan! Okay, you know what? You can worship whoever you want, and you're going to, but there is only one true God. Amen. There is only one true God. He's our God, Jehovah. He even said, don't even try to have any other gods before me because I'm the only one. He is the only true God. He dwells outside our measurable time, and He knows everything. Again, this is incredible because He created the time wherein we dwell, but He's not bound by it. He exists outside of that time. So, He can sit on His throne, and He can watch everything that's happening all at the same time. And He knows what's going to happen. I don't even know how to fully explain this. He knows what's going to happen because from His perspective, it's already happened, but it hasn't happened yet. We don't understand that. But He knows what's going to happen. And I remember Pastor Dave, he would try to explain this. He'd go, yeah, you know, just stand before God. He's going to tell, I know what you're going to do. Oh, really? You go, yeah, you're going to choose to do such and such, and here's what's going to happen. And you say, okay, well, fine. Then I'm not going to choose that. I'm going to choose this other one. And God says, go ahead, because if you choose that one, here's what's going to happen. And he said, besides, I already know what you're going to choose. That's frustrating, isn't it? You can't get one over on God. But he knows. He already knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen. Now, if he already knows what's going to happen, you know, there's a song that talks about, I know who holds tomorrow. That means we can trust him. He knows what, nothing catches him by surprise. And, you know, I had to deal with that years ago and come to the place of understanding, all right, bad thing happens. Now, God knew this was coming. That means he's got a plan to help me through it, no matter what it is. He's going to help me get through it. Now, that doesn't mean I really enjoy the challenging times that come up, but what it means is God already knew and he already has a plan. So therefore, you know what? Just sit back, take a breath, and turn to him. God, help me. What is your plan for me through this? You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. Because your rod and your staff are going to be there, comfort me, strengthen me. You're going to get me through this. Look over in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and let's pick it up in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as and the light are both alike unto thee. In other words, God is everywhere at the same time. We can't do that. And you know, how many of you saw that movie? I forget what it was. I think it's where God told Jim Carrey he could be God for a day or something like that, because God said, you know, I've been working hard, I'm taking a vacation. You know? Now, it wasn't that God was really tired. He's trying to prove a point. So he let Jim Carrey, be God for a day or whatever. And so there's Jim Carrey. And at first he thinks, man, this is great. But then all of a sudden, he starts hearing the prayers from people all over the world. And Jim Carrey, he's like, I can't take this. And you know, I've thought about that. Everybody on earth that's praying to God at the same time, how does he sort it out? But see, God's everywhere all at the same time. So that means when I'm praying to God, you're nowhere around. And he can't hear you. He hears me. And I'm the only one that he hears. But when you pray, he can't hear me. He can't hear anybody else. In other words, whenever we get into his presence and we begin talking to him, we have his full attention. He's there with us. You know, he doesn't interrupt us in the middle of our prayer and say, hold on, wait just a second, hold on. You know, Barry's got something going on over here. I got to deal with this. You know, I'll be right back. No. It's not like that. I don't understand how that can be. I don't understand how he can be with me and be with you all at the same time. But he's everywhere at the same time. Thank God. God never put you on hold. You know, you know, you call some of these places and they put you on hold and you hear this music. Well, that's not the way it is. I mean, God doesn't put you on hold so you can hear the angel choir singing. It doesn't work that way. He's there all the time. Praise the Lord. Look in Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. And look at verse 16. The Lord is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. The Lord is king. God is sovereign. That means nobody's going to take his place. And you're not going to change his mind. In other words, there are times in Scripture where it kind of comes across as though, well, you know, and it repented the Lord that he did such and such. Well, it isn't that God's changing his mind in midstream. It's Scripture's way of revealing to us that, yeah, we can have an impact on God, but he already knows what's going to happen. And it's his way in Scripture of encouraging us to pray. Because he needs us to pray in the earth for him to be able to move the way that he wants to. But he already knows everything that's going to happen. He is sovereign. And we don't have to worry about anybody voting him out of office. It doesn't happen. He is established forever and ever in his position. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And take a look at verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He's a righteous judge. Now what that means is this. He judges in righteousness. In other words, however it is that he deals with everybody, he does it righteously. He doesn't pick and choose who to spank. You understand what I'm getting at? He is a righteous judge. So then, if indeed we witness the judgment of God coming upon somebody, he's not being unfair. He's doing what needs to be done. He is a righteous judge. God, why are you doing this to me? Well, for one thing, how'd you come to the conclusion he's the one doing it to you? And if he is the one doing it to you, guess what? He's doing it in righteousness. He's not being unfair to you at all. You know, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He's a righteous judge. Look over in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, take a look at, well, let's see here. Where should we go? How about Romans chapter 1, verse 14? Nope, not verse 14. How about Romans chapter... How about if we don't go to Romans chapter 1? You see, when I print these things out, sometimes they print them... Oh, yeah, no, it's Romans chapter 2. Okay, there it is. You know, that computer of mine, I can't believe the way it makes mistakes. You know? Anyway, Romans chapter 2, I apologize. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Now look at this. The riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know what that means? God is patient. He puts up with a whole lot of stuff that we wouldn't. God is patient. Why? He wants us to come to our senses. He wants us, when we mess up, he wants us to come to him. He doesn't strike us down as soon as we mess up. He is a patient God. He waits for us. He encourages us. He moves in our lives. But he demonstrates goodness, forbearance, and long suffering that will lead us. And don't think of it strictly as or exclusively as repentance, but also to make the decision to follow his will no matter what. God is a patient God. And he's fair, praise God. Look in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You know what God is? He is a forgiver and he is a healer. Praise God. And it's not his fault if we don't trust him enough for healing to take place. I mean, it says right here, he's a forgiver and he's a healer. And it's not his fault if we don't believe he's forgiven us. Because he says right here, I forgive all your iniquities. I heal you of everything. I am the source for your healing. You know, the doctor has you on medication. You know, well, thank God for the medication. It helps me deal with the symptoms. But God is my healer. God is my healer. And the medication can help me get through the whatever while I'm building up my faith to receive that manifested healing. God is my healer. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee. Those times when, you know, God, where are you? He could come back and say, your emotions are lying to you. Because I said I'd never leave you and I'd never forsake you. I'm there. You just need to learn to focus on me more than what it is you're going through. I give you my word. I cannot lie. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Sometimes it's better for us if God doesn't speak. Because he wants us to trust him in faith as opposed to running around and listening for a voice. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes when we ask questions, he knows, we already know the answer. Almost like it. Don't make me repeat myself. He will never leave us and never, ever, ever, ever leave us. He will never turn his back on us. And the last one that we'll look at tonight, 1 John chapter 4. And I would say this one that we're going to read is the best. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is love. God is love. And because he's love, he loves us. This is another one that we can't comprehend. We love because we have a capacity to love, but God is love. I don't know how you define that. I don't know how you explain that. God is love. And if God is love, that means he loves me no matter what. And it means that he's never going to stop loving me because he is love. You know, all these evil people out there in the world, these terrorists that do all that stuff. You know, you can go before God and say, God, I don't get it. You know, what's the deal with this? You know, why don't you just strike them dead? Why don't you? And God said, I'm love. Well, how can you love them? Look what they've done. I am love. I can't help but love them. I know what they've done, but I am love. I love them. And my son Jesus died for them. For God so loved the world. How could he do that? Because he is love. God is love. Those times when we feel like nothing's going right, God is love. Those times when we feel like he's forgotten us, God is love. Those times when we feel like there's no hope, God is love. And because he's love, all of this stuff, it's already dealt with. God is love. Praise the Lord. God is love. God is faithful. God is perfect. God does not change. God is eternal. God is all powerful. He is the only true God. God is everywhere all the time. God is sovereign. God is a righteous judge. God is patient and fair. God is a forgiver and a healer. God will never turn his back on you. And God is love. And there's more. Just read the Bible and you're going to find it. This is our God. Praise the Lord. Please stand. And Jamie, why don't you come and just close us out tonight with whatever the Lord says to sing. Praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
Jesus, you're everything. You're everything, Jesus. You're everything, Jesus. Everything we need, everything we could ever need or want, Lord, is found in you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, God. Everything, you are everything we need. You are everything, you are everything, you are everything we need. We worship you. You're everything. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we love you, God. We love you, we love you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, God, we love you, God. Oh, God of love, we love you. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. We didn't even know what love was, but you are love, and you reside in us. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for all the things that you are. Because you are those things, you are things, those things to us. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the message tonight, Father. You're just reminding us of who you are to us. And we just love you. We love you so much. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, I love you and all you do. Your joy lives inside and does me good. Can I have more of you? Oh, Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh my God, you never let me down. Can I have more of you? Oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you and keep blessing you all week long, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you.